And welcome everybody on YouTube to Off the Hook Overtime, where I think we all made it. Kyle, looks like you made it.
Yeah, I'm over here.
What's up? Alex, there you are over there.
I'm here.
All right, let's make sure our levels are loud enough because YouTube, for some reason, has low levels. Looks good from my end. I don't know. What do you think, Kyle? Those good levels? They look pretty healthy to me.
Ow.
Okay. You just dropped your headphones right smack onto the board.
That was part of the test. Uh-huh. No, I just was...
wow.
It was a reflex pain.
Yeah,
threshold.
Well, you banged your head as you were getting up at the
Ow,
same
in
time.
My finger.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, my headphones fell off.
We're all here, though. We all made it. That's the important
suitable.
Thing.
If anyone has complaints, please don't hold back.
Somewhere. All right. Well, and any final words on what we were talking about before about defense contractors and weapons and death and things like that, Alex? No.
No, I'm good.
You're good.
I think we can move on.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm desensitized.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up.
Yeah.
You know, so much of my life has been typified by that it's like, okay, you know, you want to be against it. I laud your effort. Go for that. But it is a huge part of a lot of aspects of our society, and there's just no getting around that. So, I don't know.
Well, you know, at the very least, I would say...
Vote?
Well, there's that, of course. That's really the very least. But, you know, if you're working with somebody who might be a bit unsavory, does it affect what you say in any way? Does it affect who you are? If it does, then you're doing the wrong thing. If you can be 100% who you are and unashamed and unreserved, then, you know, keep doing that. And, you know, maybe you can make changes from within or something like that. I don't know. But the moment it starts to affect who you are, and you might not even know that's happening. So maybe look to others to tell you that, you know what, you're not hanging out with these people anymore, or you're not speaking out on this particular issue anymore when you used to. Maybe it's something that you're a little blind to. It's possible. Every case is different.
Yeah, and it's so much is relying on that now. And I think, like, with what we've talked about with hacking for a very, very long time, it was about, you know, what might be going on with communication systems. Of course, the deep history with the inception of the internet and its connections to advanced research programs. And of course, leaks and whistleblowers and everything along the way. And I think that you have to kind of you have to look at it now. I think that the domain of cyberspace, and I've talked about this a lot, it keeps coming up, I see it everywhere, is fair game and is ever more lauded and important. And I think every aspect of hacker culture is sort of being translated into that world. And, you know, they're making their own quarterly magazines. They're having their conferences. They're having hackathons. Yeah.
That's us.
Bite. Yeah. Watch out. They're biters.
Uh-huh.
But look, we spent, you know, 30 years deriding cyber, and they were like, yoink. It's kind of here to stay, and you know, plenty of people have had their critiques and their reservations about all of that, and I think it's a huge personal preference, and people should be aware of the impact of their work, whether that's a desired effect or just a byproduct of mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, I mean, you do inspire other people. Your actions do have an effect on other people's actions as well. So definitely something to think about. It's no easy decisions, all of these things. And it's not for us to judge either. And it's for us to observe, for us to how do you pronounce it, Alex? Opine? Is that this is like your kind of language now. Opine?
Opine yeah. is a word. Yep.
Okay. Well, it's for us to opine then. Let's hope I never say that again. Okay, you know, I get all kinds of hacker stories through Google News. It becomes more difficult to use every day. And here's another example of that. They've decided to widely broaden their definition of the word hack. So I get stories like this one entitled Starbucks Employee Slams Customer's Drink Hack and Deletes the Order. What does that mean? Well, I'm going to read you the story. There are so many hacks for drinks at Starbucks on the internet, but one may have gone a little too far. A woman named Sinead Robbins, who works at one of the coffee shop's locations in Massachusetts, took to TikTok to show a customer's bold attempt to get a complimentary beverage. Robbins showed an image of the label, which showed that the customer bought a 5-cent bag in the online app, but then tried to add their whole drink order in the extra order request section. "Hi, could I please have a grande strawberry cream frep with no whipped cream and a strawless lid?" the request read before it added a joyful thank you. Robbins was not buying the little drink scheme. "This is not a Starbucks hack," she said in the clip. Also, it's not a Starbucks hack. "It was a little bit funny, but it won't work. We canceled the order. Don't do this," Robbins added. Basically, somebody just said, "Can you give me a free drink attached to something that they bought for 5 cents?" And that's considered hacking in the eyes of Google now. That's what I have to deal with.
I think the word you might have been searching for there was frappe.
Yeah, you know, I don't speak the language. I'm sorry. So, yeah, at least I said grande right.
Yeah, that's all right. You know, you'll get there, you know.
I just think there's a lot of sugar. It's less coffee than you would imagine. And the emphasis on good coffee, I think, is a liability to their business model.
Mm-hmm. Very, very, very true there.
So do better.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. Should we take phone calls?
I'm ready.
All right. 802-321-4225. 802-321-HACK is our phone number. Do we have anybody waiting yet, Kyle? Or
no.
Okay, we just gave out the phone number. So that's good. Sometimes people jump the gun and call before we even give out the phone number. Sometimes they're more considerate. This is one of those times. Or we have no listeners. There's also that possibility. Hey, you know what I've been doing recently that's a lot of fun? I found a bunch of 3.5-inch floppies, and I've been trying to copy them. And most times it doesn't work, but sometimes it does. And when it does, I'm able to find things from like the early 1990s and late 1980s. That's really, really fascinating. And I've got two floppy drives that I'm using, because if one fails, I try the other one. And then if I'm not able to copy using a Windows, I use a DOS window to copy from drive A, which is where floppies are. Drive A and B, I believe, is reserved for floppies still to this day, if you look at drive letters. It's kind of a fun thing to do, to go back in history. Those things weren't supposed to last this long. They were supposed to last 10, maybe 20 years. And it's been 30, 35 years. And a lot of them I can't read, but some of them I can. A lot of them I can't read because they're Mac disks. I haven't gotten to that part yet. So that's a whole other part of the challenge. But I thought, Alex, you might appreciate that, since I know you used to use that kind of hardware.
Yeah, I do. I very much appreciate it. I loved the 5 1/4 floppies. I mean, what was the capacity of them? I can't even remember. It was like 320K or something.
Well, I know hard sectored, I think it was 100K. Then it was double sided. So I think, yeah, it got up to about 300, 360 or something like that. Don't quote me on it though.
Yep. And then the low density 3.5-inch floppies, they were 720K. Mm-hmm. High density was 1.44 megs.
That's right. High density.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. These are the days, right? You know, the days before bloated code, and the days before we left our house with half a terabyte of information on us every day. It's crazy.
I have one 8-inch floppy. I have no idea how to ever read this. I'm sure I wouldn't be able to if I could.
You're going to have to go to a museum somewhere and say, hey, I got some data.
But with my luck, it has malware on it or something from the 1980s, and I'm going to infect all their historic machines. So I don't know. It's a cool thing to have hanging on the wall. I nailed it to the wall.
You want to bring it to their old school sandbox. Yo, what's up?
Yeah. That, encoding vinyl, finding old tapes. In fact, we even found an old videotape. I don't know if some of you are aware of this. From 1990, we just put this online on this very same channel, Channel 2600. You might want to take a look at it. It's of a fundraiser we did at WUSB. By we, I mean me and a bunch of people at WUSB. And you just basically get to relive, or maybe most people for the first time, live the experience of what it was like to work at a radio station, community radio station, in 1990 with a whole bunch of really, really interesting people. So I guess the way to go there from the YouTube channel is to click on videos. It should be the first one you see because it was the most recent one updated. So I recommend people do that. It was a lot of fun going back down memory lane. Hopefully it'll be fun for people to go there the first time. We have a call?
Yeah, and just being reminded about how people treat one another and, you know, what relationships were like back then and how they worked in setting.
It was pre-Trump. It was pre-9/11. It was pre all sorts of things.
That's refreshing.
Yeah. All right, we have a caller. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Yes, Emmanuel, I just noticed.
So we're back to being the first caller every time, Rebel. Is that how it's going to be now? Just back to where we left off in the 1990s. This is a trip down memory lane, too, I guess. So, yeah. Enjoy it.
You know, I noticed that the volume when I listen on my computer, I have my computer all the way up to 100%, and I have the YouTube volume all the way up. And I can hear it, but it's not very loud. But when I listen on my cell phone, I can hear it louder. It's better on my cell phone, but I need my cell phone to, you know, tether for the internet.
So it sounds like you need good reference speakers or something.
Yeah, or I could take my cell phone and hook it up to my TV. I could hook it up to my TV, and then I could turn my TV up. So it's, you know, fine. But anyway, let's see. Some questions, and then I'm going to tell you about a scam call.
Oh, boy.
Now, I get calls from, like, student loan things. I mentioned this last week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're using different numbers. They're using a number from California. They're using another. Then the same people call from a number in Illinois and then a number in Michigan or whatever. It's the same company, same thing. Mm-hmm. You know what they're doing? They're using numbers from an adult magazine club. I don't know how they're doing this.
How did you find that out?
I don't know. I just...
What do you mean you don't know? How did you find out they were using numbers from an adult whatever club?
He cross-referenced his extensive library.
Somebody on YouTube, like somebody named Scambaiter, and there's a Scambaiter, and there's a Kubota on YouTube that like people have channels that are devoted to like seeing where these scams come from, and you know they see the scams that come from India, and they get the people's name, and they get you know into their computer. They're basically hackers that you know try and take down these scam
callers. If they're trying to take down the scam callers, and yeah, I guess that does involve a degree of hacking. But certainly, the people who are doing the scams aren't doing hacking; they're just doing scamming.
But how are they taking numbers from other companies and using it as the call number, like when I see it on my caller ID?
Because you can spoof caller ID. I mean, this is old news. People have been doing this for decades.
Yeah, I know.
So that's what they're doing. I don't think the number has to match anything. It can just be a random set of numbers, and they can make the call appear to come from there.
Right, but then you're not going to answer if it's like 1234567.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I think most people don't answer their cell phone anymore. I think most people don't even read text anymore. I don't know. Communication is just pretty much devolving. But when these devices become
I read text, you know. But even text, I get text messages, the same thing. You know, different phone numbers, and then they tell you to go to a certain website, and then, you know, and things like that. And when I call the number, it says, oh, the voicemail is full and all that, and nobody
answers. Wait, hold on. Don't call the number. Don't go to the website. That's how they get you.
I call the number from another phone. No, from another phone I call the number.
Okay, then that phone's going to get all kinds of calls.
It's a wired line phone.
Okay, fine. But the thing is, you're never going to get anywhere calling those numbers or going to those sites. They're scams. And you're not going to stop them. You're not going to benefit from contacting those people in any way. The best thing you can do is either ignore your phone or figure out a way to block everything except numbers that you recognize or people that you recognize.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I block numbers except for numbers that I recognize. However, they call from, if my number is area code 201-580 something, 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 they're going to call from another 201-581 whatever.
Yeah, it's not hard to do. It's not hard to program a computer to say, I'm going to call this particular exchange, make it seem like it's coming from that same exchange. That's how they get people to pick up, because they think it's somebody local or somebody they know.
But Dell, I did call, I was on a wired line, and I did *5-7, and it still said the last number you called has been traced.
Mm-hmm.
Does *5-7 work if, even if the number had like electronic switching or a crossbar? So, like back when it first came out, *5-7 and all these custom.
It's a ripoff. You pay $1.50, at least that's what it was last time I checked to the phone company, and they say that it's been traced. You never find out what happened, and the calls can continue. It's a fake number, so you know if you did trace it, quote unquote, I doubt it does anything. I really do.
But I mean, back in the day, like in the 90s, if you did *5-7 and the phone that was calling you was like an electronic switching phone or a crossbar phone, maybe sometimes it would say your call cannot be traced by this method because the number that called you was not on the SS7 network or whatever.
Yeah, if it was a crossbar number or something that was pre-SS7, yeah, you probably would get a recording like that.
Do you have, like, the star, if one had caller ID and somebody dialed, let's say they blocked their number, would this *5-7 call trace work then?
It's supposed to work against a blocked number, yes, but that tells you that it's using caller ID data, which they've already hacked, so it's not likely you're tracing the right number in the first place, but you are paying the phone company for the privilege.
Right, no, but if they block their, they just did whatever star, whatever to block their.
It overrides that. It overrides that, but it will not tell you. It won't tell you the number.
Right, right. It won't tell you the number.
Mm-hmm.
Now, call the following number on it. Can you make calls on the air?
This is why I don't use my cell phone. This is why I turn my cell phone off and ignore it. You know, it's useless.
No, I mean, you don't. Okay, so you can't call on this thing. You can't do. Call,
not while we're talking to you.
Yeah.
While we're talking to you. Okay. Maybe
we're dedicated
when
to
I
just.
Hang up.
Yeah, but if you have a way of conferencing and demonstrating something, we're all ears.
I don't actually.
Well, there's
I could
a project
call you from another number. Well, actually, okay. If you can call area code 530, which is California, then the number.
Wait. What number are we giving out here?
You want to give everyone this opportunity because it might be busy once you give it out.
What number are you giving out, Rebel?
The number that scammed me, that called me, that says you have college debt.
Yeah, but that's not a real number. You're giving out some poor person's real number that
no,
was fake.
It goes to the person. It goes to the college. It goes to the I got a message. It left the message saying, "Hi, we tried to call you before. We're in terms of your student loan. We can forgive your student loan. Please call us back." And then when you call it back, it. You know, you get a person.
So maybe they are calling you intentionally and using their real number. That's what it sounds like to me, what you're describing.
No, it's not, because they call from different numbers and different times.
So how did you get this number? How did you get this number?
The other day I got a call from the same place, the same people, from a number in Michigan. Today I got a call from this number in California.
Okay, so that turned out to be their real number.
Guess it's a real number because the one I call the number, it's the same people, the same company, the same entity.
Maybe they screwed up and just gave out their real number for once. I do know one thing, Rebel. This might be helpful to you. What phone service do you use? What mobile
Sprint
company?
Or T-Mobile.
T-Mobile. I believe T-Mobile does this. If they're stupid enough to leave you a voicemail, have they ever done that? Left you a voicemail?
They have.
Okay.
Yes, and actually.
Do this.
I got it on my Google Voice number, actually. Well, actually, I know you can say that the caller ID is going to be on the voicemail.
Exactly.
I don't think that works anymore.
But the number will be the real number and not the number they're faking. Because I believe what T-Mobile voicemail does is use ANI to record the number that left you a voicemail message, but they use caller ID when the call is coming in. And again, you're right, that might not still work. I know that used to work, and it might be useful to some people. But they have to leave you a voicemail message.
Right, but now they're calling me on the Google Voice. I think these calls coming on my Google Voice number.
You think Google would have some sophisticated way of filtering, you know? But I don't know. Maybe they're in on it.
They have a spam block. They have a thing called, in the settings, if you go to settings, it says block spam calls. I guess it doesn't, because it looks like a real area code and real phone number. Well, it is.
I would not trust anything that has Google and spam in the same sentence, because their spam filters are the worst I've ever experienced. And you know, some people might argue with me about this and say that, I don't get any spam. You know what else you don't get? You don't get legitimate mail that they've decided is spam. I know this because a lot of our mail from 2600.com winds up in people's spam. And this is mail to people that work with us. This is mail that's a reply to something they sent to us, winds up in spam because they're overzealous about it. And I think it's far worse to have false positives than false negatives, because, you know, you're actually losing important pieces of mail then. So they really need to develop a much better spam filtering system than what they have for Gmail.
Why do you have comments turned off? Why don't you let people comment when you're while you're on
the, we're shifting gears here, because this is the comment. Rebel, you have the floor. If other people were commenting right now, they wouldn't be listening to you.
Okay, but the reason I ask is because I'd like to give out the phone number so that people can call it, and maybe they can leave a comment on this YouTube video to give their experience of what they...
Unfortunately, it might be kind of hard to find if we enabled comments, you know,
He wants to leave the phone number and bypass...
You only get 5 to 10 comments.
Our restriction on giving out a phone number of a potentially... Look, is this a phone number for a company? It's definitely a company?
It's a company. I don't know if it's a legitimate company.
I'm not going to say whether it is or isn't. I just don't want to be, the one telling people to call a particular number if it's a legitimate company.
It's not like... Yeah, it's a company. It's not like the Indian scammers that call you from different people's phone number, actual personal phone numbers. It's not like that. I know that. So,
I've heard tell of this happening in many, many different ways. Sometimes it's people's personal numbers right here, local to you. Sometimes it's people in another part of the world, but almost never is it an actual phone number.
Well, this is an actual phone number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in this particular case, it seems to be. So that's unusual. I'll give you that.
Okay. Why don't you try calling it? I could give you the number.
You know what? Why don't you email us, oth@2600.com. Send us a number that way. We'll do a little investigating, and God help us for...
Wait, you want me to email you right now? And you
We're not doing it right now. We're in a totally different part of the broadcast facility.
Oh, so you don't have any... I can't just give it in, and then somebody will call it and then call in and say whatever.
I don't know what it is you're looking for, but no, we're not going to give out phone numbers for people to call that aren't the phone number we want them to call to talk to us. I don't think that's, unless it's, something like, MCI with their, 444444. Phone number for 800 that used to give you your caller ID information. That was kind of cool. We'd give that one out.
I think it was 2222 or something.
Yeah, AT&T numbers, things like that. But if it's just, some poor slob, calling people from California that might just be a salesman or something, I'm not comfortable giving that out. Not without knowing more. But okay, I can suggest, you do research and try certain things. Certainly we can experiment.
Okay. I will email you the phone number.
All right. I look forward to getting that email.
And then you see what the, you see what happens, and you report next week. I just emailed it to you.
I just got homework. Okay.
All right.
Oh, Alex, you'll take care of it? Okay, thank you.
I could call you on my regular phone. Well, no, I can't do that because then...
Yeah, why would you do that?
No, because then... That's the other thing. They could block certain numbers. When I call from my cell phone...
They can block certain numbers. Wow. Maybe you should take a lesson from them.
When I call from my cell phone... I must have talked to them and said, they didn't like what I was asking them, and so it doesn't go through or it goes to voicemail.
How could anybody have a conversation with you and not like where it's going? How could anybody ever say that? I just Been speaking to you for over 30 years now. It feels like I never hung up, and I can't say that.
Well, when I call from my Google Voice number, I get through to people.
I'll bet you do.
Well, and then when I go to, like, the New York City Link, the NYC Link kiosks, I call from there, and I still get through.
Uh-huh. Anyone else have any questions for Rebel before we move on to another phone call?
I'm okay.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's reassuring to hear, Alex. Thank you.
Well, you know.
Yeah. We only have one phone line, though. So, actually, you know, we do have more, but they go, we don't know where they go. So if you're calling now and it's ringing, it's not ringing anywhere near us, so we don't know where you're winding up.
Well, I mean, you're calling now, but Google Voice doesn't give you enough time for it to ring. It gives you like five rings before it says, yeah, you know, your voicemail. Is it a busy signal?
Is it really a busy signal? Does it give you a busy?
Well, no, because, you know, Google Voice doesn't, you know, believe in busy signals. So, you know, you have to hear voicemail instead.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know where that voicemail is. If people are leaving us messages somewhere, we have no clue where that is.
Wait a minute. You can leave a message and you didn't get it?
No, we don't get those messages. We have no idea where that is. And if we did know where it is, we don't know what the password is. So it's not something that's a priority. There's probably 1,000 messages waiting for us. And
we'll set this up for you then.
What?
Yeah. Set this up.
What are you setting up?
Your Google Voice, this number. Who set it up for you?
I don't know. It's something that we inherited from some. I don't know. You're asking a lot of questions. And I just know it works, and that's all I care about. And I know there's other people trying to get through. So can we let them get through now?
Yeah, okay, I believe there are a couple other calls, Rebel. So is there any?
All right.
Do you have any other
closing thoughts?
Items to report? Because
I guess that's it. You know. Well, you have to hear commercials in the supermarket now, you know.
You mentioned that topic last week, yes, and expressed our outrage too.
That is.
It's horrible. It's horrible. You can always go in there with headphones, blast your own.
Why don't you check your email? Why don't you check your email? Yeah, I gave you the number.
Because I'm not in the email room. We segregate everything here. We don't have email where we do telephones, and we don't do telephones where we do radio. We only do telephones where we do podcasts. I mean, come on. This is common sense.
Wait, yeah, but this is not a podcast. This is like a vlog.
It is a podcast. It's not a radio show. What is it then?
But if we weren't doing that and we were doing email, we wouldn't be doing this.
That's right.
Well, you know, the real YouTuber, they have, you know, the microphone, the pocket, the vlog, you know, the studio, the whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it distracts from the dialogue. Like, if we were watching something and then...
Yeah, we couldn't be having this conversation now.
Typing up things and making coffees and stuff off to the side frying up an omelet.
I have a podcast on YouTube. I guess, you know, maybe I should have a podcast, you know.
And then your podcast could call this podcast have a co-cod.
You could just compete with us.
Podcast.
Just compete with us, be on at the same time and do our own things separately. That would be nice.
Maybe I'll give out my YouTube channel.
Go ahead. You can do that.
It's Richard Conte.
Okay. How do you spell that?
C-O-N-T-E.
Okay. And I assume people know how to spell Richard. So, okay. Cool. So but I'm sure people are on their way over to your...
I have a video of me calling these, people.
Okay. All right. And it hasn't been blocked. So I guess it's okay then.
No, it hasn't been blocked. Why would it be blocked?
I don't know. I don't know what you do on your video channel.
I mean, unless I play music that doesn't, you know, is copyrighted or something.
Well, yeah, that can get you in all kinds of hassles. I know that. What's that, Alex? It looks like you have something to say.
No, I'm just not surprised at all that Rebel shares a surname with a certain Russian threat actor group known for really nasty ransomware events.
Richard?
Conte.
Oh.
Wait, I know there was an actor called Richard Conte, but it's not. I know when you can Google Richard Conte, it's going to come up that.
No, he's a threat actor, but
please stop saying Rebel's real name over and over again.
The, the threat actor. We're talking about the Russian group of criminals going around ransomwaring everybody for several years.
Alleged criminals, C-O-M-T. Alex. Alleged criminals.
Russian group. When was
it? They ended with an I.
Oh, that's a totally different group. So don't defame Rebel.
Yeah, no, they're so phonetically similar.
I'm sorry, I meant to say don't defame them.
And they could be reformed now.
Yeah, that's true. They could have definitely served their their sentence,
changed their ways, and all found rebirth and all. Mm-hmm, it's very common.
Rebel, regrettably, it's time for us to go.
Okay. When I get texts like that, I send them pictures, like pictures of me.
Well, if that doesn't stop them, I don't know what will.
Be careful out there.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you for calling and for making this night so special.
We'll catch up with you. Okay.
At this a half hour already. Can you believe that?
Bye.
Are you still there? Phone numbers. 802-321-4225. My God. 802-321-4225. That's phone number. Call quickly before he calls back and takes up another 20 minutes of talking about harassing phone calls and things like that.
Almost as if he doesn't want to stop talking.
No, I mean, do any of us really want to stop talking? I kind of do. We have a call? Good evening. You're on.
Hello.
Let me greet you first. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Hello.
Hi. This is Alex's sister again on the other side of the hurricane.
Oh, now you've gotten out of the hurricane safely, I hope. It's been a week.
Hey, Rachel.
It's been a week. I'm still safe, obviously. I'm calling you guys.
Good.
It got real fucked up. Am I allowed to curse?
Well, we discourage it, but it's YouTube, so anything goes. But, on the radio, that would definitely be a problem. So we don't like to because we might forget if we're on the radio or on YouTube. So you're okay for now.
I'll do my best not to, but So I'm still in the house that we evacuated to.
Okay.
The bridges both to the island I live on and the island I work on got destroyed.
Oh my God. What
we were on the phone last week.
What islands were those?
Pine Island and Sanibel Island.
Oh my God. So Sanibel. Wow. That's the one that, that really, got destroyed and people are stranded still. They're still being rescued over there.
Yeah. The layout of the islands is that Sanibel, geographically, as the storm is coming in, is before Pine Island. Pine Island is a barrier island. It's a channel island. So it was in between the mainland and Sanibel.
Okay.
Pine Island is where I live. Sanibel is where I worked. So as the storm came in, Sanibel also is the place where the beautiful beach is.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it got hit first. It got bowled over, and then it bowled over my island, and it sat there.
So,
for 12 hours.
It was it stalled for a while. So, Sanibel, that's where you work, or that's where you live?
Sanibel is where I work.
Okay.
Pine Island is where I live.
Okay.
So I got double hit.
Now, did you get an evacuation order? And if so, do you think you had enough time to act on it?
I do, but also, it was my job told me we weren't going to be open till Friday. I know not a lot of people had that. A lot of people of middle to low income workers
mm-hmm.
were told to come into work the next day.
Wow.
But we were told we didn't have to work until Friday. My husband is part owner of his business.
Uh-huh.
So he could do whatever he needed to do. And they're Floridians, so they knew what they needed to do.
Right.
We evacuated on Tuesday.
Okay.
Tuesday afternoon. I know there was a lot of people who lived out there who worked Wednesday day or morning and went home and thought they could leave or decided not to. But, yeah, the evacuation orders were probably a bit late.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. It's the first storm like this I've ever been through.
Right. Yeah. It just seems, you know, I don't know very much about the way the area is laid out, but it just seems that, you know, an island with a single bridge with a hurricane like that coming, that's not something you wait on issuing the evacuation order for. It's you get out quickly.
I agree.
And you know, if you don't have to, then okay, you know, you were a little bit overcautious, but so much better than not being cautious enough. And I think a lot of people unfortunately fell victim to that.
I 100% agree. I 100% agree. And my husband is a person who stayed on the island during Hurricane Charlie.
Uh-huh.
And Hurricane Ian took basically the same exact path. And that was part of why he was waking me up Tuesday morning saying, we got to go.
Because he had been through it before.
He had been through it before, and he stayed during Charlie. And
so,
his windows blew out, and his roof blew off.
Uh-huh. So
while he was in the house. So.
If he stayed for Charlie, how come he didn't stay for this one? Was there something different about this one?
Because it was traumatic and terrible.
Uh-huh.
His house blew off. I mean, his roof blew off while he was in the house.
So why would you want to go through that again? That's the.
That's
well,
why
yeah.
He said we could go.
Yeah.
Well, if your roof blows off, I think that is the time to go. But I didn't know you still had the opportunity to go at that point. I thought maybe it would be too late.
No, it was too late. Charlie, similar to Ian, did like a hook to the right and hit right where we live. Similarly, but Charlie was like a third of the size of Ian. Ian covered the whole state.
Yeah.
The entirety of Charlie could fit inside Ian's eye.
Yeah, I heard things like that. And, you know, we've been out here on the East Coast. We've been getting the remnants of Ian for the last 4 days. That's how long it's been. And it's nothing like what you guys went through. But this goes to show how big this thing is and how powerful.
Yeah, it's crazy what Mother Nature can do, man.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you been in touch with everybody else that you know in the area, and are people for the most part safe?
For the most part, people are safe because I work on Sanibel. Some of my regular bar guests had my number, and I was getting very nervous about some of them. Like, I got a text Wednesday night. We decided to stay. It's very scary. The water is rising. And then I couldn't get in touch with them until, like, Friday. And that was really scary. There are people I've grown to love.
Uh-huh.
They would come and sit in my bar, and basically we had dinner all the time. I was serving them, and they were paying it, but doesn't mean they're not people I care about.
Of course.
It was really scary, and because cell service, and obviously internet went out, but, like, cell service. Finally, some of them got back to me, and they're okay, but they lost their homes. A lot of people on the island we live lost their homes.
Wow.
We are extremely lucky. Our home on Pine Island, as far as we know, last time someone went to check on it, was pretty good.
Really?
Because we live in one of the higher elevations of that, you know, zero elevation island. But there's also been a lot of looting and pretty much lawlessness from what we've heard on Pine Island. So if someone broke into our house and took our TVs and slept on our bed, I don't mind.
Well, the most important thing is to survive in the first place, and everything else is kind of incidental
to
that.
I don't think people are going to be rummaging through my house for the photos of my family from the 90s.
Hopefully not. would be strange.
No one's going to run off with that. So they're, as long as the roof's still there, my keepsakes are there.
Now, Andrew, you mentioned cell phones. I'm just curious, how overall did cell phones do in the day or 2 days after the storm? Were you able to use them at all?
Barely. Not great.
Mm-hmm.
Even for me, where we evacuated to, like you heard me last week on the phone. It was real windy,
mm-hmm.
and it was probably 110 mile per hour winds out here where we evacuated to. And then we barely had anything. It was very hard to communicate. And even now, my coworkers who are in Cape Coral, I still get like a flood of multiple texts from them. Like their cell service is very spotty. Some of them I know just got electricity today. Some of them are still waiting. They're still waiting on water. That's basically in a space between where I left and where I went.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's been really tough for Cape Coral. They also have so many canals. So when the water rose, so much of that city got flooded.
And from what I understand, a lot of places are still experiencing flooding. Is that correct?
As far as I know, not in my immediate living area, like Pine Island, Cape Coral, Fort Myers. But then again, it's hard to get the news as it comes, mm-hmm. especially when you don't have internet and power, and the TV news keeps playing the same things over and over.
Right.
So getting news up to date is very difficult.
I can imagine.
But I know that other parts of Florida, there's been levees that have been overflown and whatnot. I'm not the one to ask, you know, like, we've been watching news for our home and where we work and where our friends are. And beyond that, it's hard to have a bandwidth for.
Yeah, that is true. You know, you're kind of just dealing with the immediate effects around you to the your space and your loved ones and neighborhoods. So it takes a while. I think we've all wanted, like, reports and assessments, and it's like you said, kind of just a lot of repeated stuff, and the details are only really coming to light. I think a lot of people are confronting all that inundation of water and the after effects, whether it's like keeping food or getting rid of stuff and trying to prevent mold, that kind of stuff. There's been a lot of talk about just basically the fall-on effects of, like, okay, you don't have power for 5 days, what does this mean? And practically speaking, it's just really tough beyond the acute damage from the storm. So
did we just change who I'm speaking to?
Yes, that's Kyle.
Okay, hi. I'm Alex's sister.
Yes,
I've been told that.
we all know, and Alex is here too. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yeah,
hi, brother.
Hey, Rachel.
Hey, Fratello.
Hey, have you heard anything concerning Uncle James?
I know Uncle James wasn't there.
Okay.
But I'll ask Becky's husband if their condo is okay, but I mean, that's honestly the least of my concerns.
Wow.
He was
another
Becky
family.
Is our cousin. Becky's our cousin. Our uncle has a home on the same island that I work on, but I know that they weren't there.
All right, that's good.
But Uncle James is okay.
Uncle James is fine.
Okay, that's all I care about.
99% sure he's in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. If he's in Jersey, he's fine.
Yeah, everything in New Jersey is fine.
I didn't say that.
Part of me wanted to ask Noah that, but Noah is our cousin's husband. He reached out to me the other day, and he was like, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And I, you know, just got back to him and said, "Yeah, all right. We evacuated. We're fine."
So, Rachel, why don't you go?
I messaged Noah and asked about their condo, but in the grand scheme of things, Uncle James and Aunt Josie are okay.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah, they wouldn't be there in September.
Yeah, that's
smarter
that's
good than that.
Yep. Yeah, that's true.
It is October though, but I'm sure they're not there now.
Anyway. Well, it was September when the
Yeah, you're right. Boy, time passes fast, doesn't it? But Alex, you had something to say?
Yeah, Rachel, when are you going home? When are you going to make the trek?
I don't know. They built kind of a dirt and asphalt bridge to my island, Pine Island. And people were getting over it today. I mean, which is absolutely wild because I don't know if you saw the news. The town called Matlacheay, if you saw that on the news, was the town in between Pine Island and the mainland. So okay. Every day when I left my house, I had to drive through Matlacheay. It's spelled Matlacha, but It's pronounced Matlacheay. Anyway, so that area was, like, destroyed. Also, the water is very, very shallow. It's, like, at most, like, 6 feet deep or something. I don't know. I could ask my husband, but it's a very shallow channel. And so these companies came in and filled it in and made a road. And they announced earlier today, you can just drive back in if you're a resident. And my husband and I were like, we're just going to wait because we're going to let the utilities come in and let them bring debris off and who knows what else off. And then they apparently shut it down. Getting actual news from what's going on there is very frustrating because it's just people on Facebook and people on the internet spreading nonsense.
Well,
and there you know who to trust because there's no like legitimate source.
We talked about this a little earlier, but if you have a transistor radio or something, that's probably the best source of information where you can just listen to what they're saying on the radio.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts or questions? Or
you know,
no, that's it. That's just my update from being amputated from my home.
Mm-hmm.
Since the last time we spoke, because last time we spoke, we didn't know.
Yeah.
That stuff.
Yeah, it hadn't happened quite yet. Go ahead, Alex.
By the way, there is just hours ago a story that broke about Sanibel Island and a ham radio operator who had somehow. I mean, it's an insanely long story. It's very, very detailed for some reason in narrative form. But the I think the gist of it is that this ham radio operator was able to communicate with people that were stranded in Sanibel Island and helped rescue, I think, 8 people and a dog that would have perished.
Wow.
But for the ham radio operator. And always in the wake of these disasters are there finally some news stories about the heroism of ham radio operators.
And people who also have ham radio ham radios that can talk to the people with ham radio operators. So it's a good thing they were able to connect.
Yeah, people who are listening to the ham radio,
Was Alex, was this recent, Alex?
Yeah. Did the story come out recently or did this happen recently?
Did this happen recently? Are people still getting rescued like this?
Yeah, it must have. I think probably a few days ago or something. Okay. It actually doesn't give it. It's a very detailed story.
Yeah, the people who I knew who didn't evacuate the storm on Sanibel, it took them several more days to leave the island.
Yeah,
They literally couldn't go anywhere. They were just stuck in their underwater homes or, you know, the water had receded, but they're stuck in their crumbling homes.
Yeah.
It's very disturbing.
I think a lot of people forget is that, you know, it's easy to say you should evacuate, but for some people might not have cars, people might not have, you know, mobility. It's not always that easy. Yeah. It's not always as easy as we think it is.
Yeah, Sanibel is a very wealthy island. Like, you could buy a house the size of a postage stamp there. It's like New York City, and it'll cost you $1 million.
Wow.
But they do also have low-income housing for people who work on Sanibel, and a few of my coworkers live in those. And we couldn't get in contact with a number of them because they were men who worked super hard, who rode their bikes to work. They were the dishwasher. They were the pastry guy. They were immigrants. And we couldn't get a hold of them. They couldn't leave. What were they going to do, ride their bike off?
That's crazy. They couldn't leave.
They're all okay. We later found out, days later, that they were okay. But they didn't have a way off.
Wow.
And that's really disturbing because it didn't have to turn out that way. And I wonder if for some people it went worse, you know?
Yeah, it certainly is possible.
Yeah. Wow, that's insane, Rachel. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Well, I'm glad you guys are okay, and hopefully you get home in a reasonable amount of time, and then you're going to have to call back and tell us what home is like.
Yeah, I will.
And you're okay now? You have power where you are right now?
We have power where we are. We are living on the kindness of strangers, specifically my husband's cousin's neighbors had an extra house. Alex, they're from right outside Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yep.
So they have two houses here on this street. This one house they, like, never use. So they were like, you can come stay there literally as long as you need.
Wow.
And we are so incredibly lucky. That is not a normal situation. It's just community and kindness and family and all those things tied into one that gave us a roof over our head and power and flushing toilets.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you never know when a cousin's neighbor is going to come through.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's why you always need to get to know your cousin's neighbors.
Absolutely.
I've been saying that a long time.
No. Which makes me think of Aunt Janet's neighbors, who are wonderful.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, but that was Patchogue, and you know, many years ago.
I think they would have done the same thing.
Yep. No doubt.
Be nice to your neighbors, everybody.
Yeah, I think that's always a good thing to be nice to your neighbors. Listen, Rachel, thank you so much for calling, for sharing that with us, and we hope things get better, and that all your friends, neighbors, also get through this. We'll certainly be watching what happens, and please keep contacting us, letting us know what happens next.
Sure. Yeah, I can't believe last week I was saying, maybe I'll call you from the bar. That was long before we knew that the bridge was destroyed.
Yeah.
So, and when I can call you from the bar, I will.
Okay, look forward to that.
Okay.
All right, you take care.
All right, bye, Rachel. We love you. We'll talk to you later.
Love you, brother.
Love you too, sister.
Bye.
Bye. Well.
Wow. Okay, that is something. I'm glad she got through.
It's a night of family tonight, I guess, calling in, because I know you consider Rebel to be, you know, like a close family member. You've said that for many, many years, and something about that.
I know where you are, Alex, so just remember that, okay?
Yeah.
So we have time maybe for one more?
I think so.
Any calls coming in?
Yeah, let's do it.
What's the phone number again? We want to make sure people aren't familiar who need to know what the number is.
You really don't know what the number is.
Yeah, okay, you might want to repeat
give you
it
the
for
number.
Them.
802. I forgot. 802-321-4225. Right? 802-321-4225 is our phone number.
And what's that spell?
Oh, come on. Pick up the damn phone. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yes, one quick thing about
that. No, Alex. It's just wrong. It's just wrong. Okay. You get one shot, all right? And, you know, if that happens again, you won't call next week. How about that? Yeah. 802-321-4225. And we'll give it a minute. If we don't get another call, we'll just move on because we have other things to do, believe me.
Any new topics that didn't get a chance?
There's always new topics, but I don't want to open up a whole new subject to debate and go into details and things like that.
Well, we talked a lot about disaster recovery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how to survive when systems come crashing down. You know, the old stuff, the old radios or
that's right.
Shortwave ham, you know, all that.
I should point out there are 2600 meetings this Friday.
Oh, good.
In most places. So go to 2600.com/meetings and you will see the most recent listing. And there might be some new ones added in. We'll see. You can always write to us if you have a meeting that you'd like to start in your particular state or city or town, then go right ahead and do that. Okay, you want to give it one more try? Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hey, Emmanuel.
Hey, what's on your mind?
I've been 20 or so, back in the 2000s.
I'm sorry, say again? I can't make out what you're saying.
He's listening since the mid-2000s?
You've been listening to the mid-2000s.
Oh, you're listening to it.
Well, I think there's a bit of delay in the phone.
There might be if you listen to the radio, so right. Just talk to us on the phone.
Right. So I wanted to talk to you today about the Elon Musk Twitter buy.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We talked about that earlier on the show, but yeah, it's...
Right. So as far as social media goes, what's your opinion on that?
As far as social media? Well, it's not necessarily...
Well, as far as the big three or four, like the Facebook... The Twitter, the Instagram.
Just generally, like, what do we think about them, or what do we think about them in light of this changing? Like the ownership.
If you were to ask me a question about how can they get taken over, like MySpace was.
Hmm. Well, true. Yeah, I mean, it's a kind of up to the business dynamics in the market. A lot of these are public companies, so yeah, this is about the interest of the shareholders and the direction they want to take the business.
I'm more saying like, how can somebody else take over?
I mean,
let's say I was the smallest person in the world and I want to take over one of the big companies.
It's at the outset, I think, just that's daunting, right? You would be maybe the first conclusion, or it might be tempting to assume that, but there are different models that people have taken, but it takes a coalition of many people. I think if you are yourself not of means or do not have the can't really navigate the private equity world, that would be my reaction. But make a co-op, you know, some kind of organization that kind of represents that, and yeah, compete, do the same thing, play the game harder with a different initiative maybe, and give them a run for their money. But to do it yourself without the kind of teams and resources, specifically lawyers, I don't know, business.
Well, lawyers are one thing, scripting is a different thing. So, you got to get your product prepared before you get somebody to say it's illegal, more or less. Like, I can steal somebody's content, right? I can script somebody. I can clone somebody's webpage. But is that illegal to do?
it's not illegal to, you know, just clone a web page, keep an archive of it or something. But if you were going to reuse that exact content, you could be violating their copyright or something.
Right, and that's where the lawyer comes in. But yeah. I'm only doing it for fun. I'm not getting paid. So what are they going to sue me for?
Well, they sue you for some kind of copyright violation or maybe diluting their brand or something like that. I mean, but there are exceptions to that as well. You know, there are certain things that would fall under fair use. You know, if you were...
I don't know if it's your volume or my volume, but it comes in pretty well.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
No problem.
I think, you know, there are certain usages that would fall under the doctrine of fair use, and that would involve if you were using, you know, their image or likeness of it or a replica for some kind of parody or some kind of satire or criticism, then that would be fine. But yeah, I'm not. I don't know if I'm entirely following the use case here.
The use case is more or less what I see, and I want my friends to see, right? So I'm a tech guy at work, and I see a lot of stuff that a lot of my friends don't see, right? I see all the memes on Reddit. I see all the memes on Imgur. They don't notice until I show them. But I show them the memes in person as opposed to online where you would get the ad money from. So.
I think that seems to be fine to me. I would think. You know. Yeah, interesting questions.
All right, listen, we are kind of at the end of our time, but thanks for your call.
All right.
And keep listening, write to us, and we'll see what happens. All right, take care.
Have a good night.
All right, I think that's it for tonight, because it's well over an hour, but thank you everybody who called in.
You don't want to do one more?
We'll do this again in a couple of weeks. Not next week, but please go to the meetings and meet some other people and share your stories. And write to us, oth@2600.com. That's our email address. We'd be happy to hear from you.
Thanks for listening.
Good night, Alex.
Oh, good night, everybody.
Didn't hurt, did it?
No, not this time.